If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Your dog looks like a little Fraggle. Was that real?
Look at this thing. No, people give me dirty looks when I've got him in the stroller. They think I'm one of those LA weirdos, and I'm like, yo, he can't see. Like, this is how we go. He's got to be pushed.
Tell me how social media came into your life.
I just posted on Instagram nonstop because I wanted attention and I wanted a boyfriend. And I thought, this is where I'm going to find a boyfriend, which has been so wrong.
Now you're somebody who has over 10 million followers in all your platforms, over 8 million on just Instagram alone.
But now the algorithm's kind of shot. It's not what it used to be. So people can't even reach their own audiences that they've built over the years. I can't reach my entire audience ever.
Because you have such a big brand, do you think that OnlyFans is something that has created part of that brand?
It was kind of a no-brainer too, because, you know, all those years I had done bikini modeling and posted in the swimwear, and we got a lot of pushback. Sometimes it was like, you can't model for this brand because you're too risque on the internet. Everything's risque when you look a certain way.
Trad wives, do you know what that is? Traditional?
Yes.
Is that something that you believe in? Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Well, it is my absolute pleasure to introduce a very special guest to Misunderstood today, someone who's captivated millions with her charm, talent, and entrepreneurial spirit. Lindsay Payless is a globally recognized influencer, model, and actress, boasting an incredible following of over 8.5 million fans on Instagram alone. But she's so much more than her impressive numbers. Lindsay has built a personal brand rooted in empowerment, authenticity, and ambition. She's graced the covers of top magazines, collaborated with renowned brands, and even launched her own podcast, Eyes Up Here, where she speaks openly about life, culture, and self-expression. Lindsay is a trailblazer and in the influencer world, using her platform to inspire confidence and break stereotypes while navigating the ever-challenging digital landscape with grace and intelligence. Today, we're thrilled to have her here to share her journey, insights into the influencer industry, and the story behind her extraordinary success. So without further ado, let's give a warm welcome to the one and only Lindsay Payless. Lindsay, welcome to Misunderstood. I am so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Your dog looks like a little Fraggle. Was that real?
Oh my God. Look at this thing. Somehow he is real. This is Tosh. He's 11 and a half. And
he's my gosh. Look at his little teeth sticking out.
I know. The little two teeth, they drive me wild. I think he's the cutest thing alive. You're so cute, but he can't see anything. So
because of the hair in his face, or he's
No, well, he has no eyes, so it's made, you know, he doesn't have any eyes. So the hair in the eyes, yeah, people get on me all the time. They're like, get him groomed. Like, there's hair in his face. And I'm like, bro, he has no eyes. So we're rocking with the little punk rock look with the little bangs.
So cute. Have you had him his whole life?
I have.
And yeah. What happened to his eyes?
He's got glaucoma pretty bad, and he came from a breeder. In Louisiana, you know, 11 and a half years ago, we didn't have a big rescue culture, and I was a young girl. I had no idea. So I got him, and they come with all kind of problems, some of these, you know. So he's had some dental problems and certainly some ocular problems, but we're keeping him going.
So can he see anything at all these days, or he's completely blind?
No, he can't see anything. Yeah, he lost his sight around 5 and a half, but... you know, you wouldn't know it when you hang out with him. You kind of just, he's at it. He's with it.
So I have a blind dog too. I rescued one of my dogs I rescued that was born without an eye. And he's a Merle dog, which is known for ocular and hearing problems. So, and the other eye works half, you know, like I think he can see shapes maybe or shadows, you know, that kind of thing. And he is so good in the house. No one would know that he's blind. But then the second he walks out of the house, it's like he doesn't know what's going on. So he good thing I have almost 2 acres in the backyard, so he runs and has so much fun, but he cannot leave the front of the house. But anyways, I love him.
Oh, they're so sweet. No, people give me dirty looks when I've got him in the stroller. They think I'm one of those LA weirdos, and I'm like, yo, he can't see. Like, this is how we go. He's got to be pushed.
Adorable. All right. So tell me, you said you were from Louisiana. What was that like growing up in Louisiana?
Oh my gosh. Well, growing up in Louisiana was pretty much the opposite of living in LA. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a dairy farm town in the middle of nowhere. So we didn't have a red light. We didn't have a McDonald's. We didn't have a Walmart. So I grew up in a place that is completely culturally different. Like, the only thing that Louisiana people care about are like faith, family, and food, I always say. Mm-hmm. Care about the three Fs. But it was wonderful. It was unique. But I think, you know, when I grew up, I was very depressed, honestly. I wanted to be around people and be around the energy. And I had a hard time growing up in a farm town. When you have a lot of energy and a lot that you want to be doing, it was hard. It was tough.
So how did you finally get out?
Well, when I was 18, I got a job at Hooters pretty much the day of. And I started working. I started working from the minute I was 18, and I went to college. And so that kind of brought me to, you know, I moved to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, which was a bigger city. Mm-hmm. And then at 23, or no, yeah, 23. So I graduated college at 21, at 23. I think that's the math. Then I moved to LA. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a straight up the whole story. Didn't stop in between.
And wait, were you working at Hooters the whole time during college?
I worked there for 4 years. And at one point I worked at Twin Peaks at the same time, which is their like competitor restaurant. And I worked my butt off, and I was a full-time student and a full-time Hooter girl.
Explain this to me, because you always see it in the movies and they kind of make fun of it. But are you guys rolling around on roller skates?
I think that's, isn't that like Sonic?
I don't know. Else. Maybe I'm mixing up my women on, you know.
We had hula hoops though, and we could also flip the stools upside down and do this like spinny thing. So there's a lot of tacky, fun behavior throughout. But
did you like doing it? Was it empowering, or did you feel like you were being taken advantage of?
Oh my God. Well, I feel like, you know, I loved making money. The minute I made money, I was like, this is fun. And I would work for no reason. I would work double shifts. I would pick up everything. I loved the idea that I could come in and leave with cash in my little pouch. It was fun. Yeah. So fun to me. But no, people were very rude. A lot when they could be. They were very demeaning sometimes, like not the people I worked with at all, but customers could be rude and they could certainly be demeaning, but it gave me a thick skin. And overall, I really enjoyed the experience. And I got the, because in college I didn't have a lot of money, so I couldn't join a sorority or do any of those things. But what I did get was kind of this group of women who were like single mothers or someone who was recently divorced. And, you know, that's the kind of women who are working at Hooters with me. And I felt like I learned a lot about life working with those kind of women who had to really work for their shit. And I liked it.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. So what made you decide to come to LA? Did you think you wanted to be an actress? What was it that brought you there?
Oh my gosh. Well, my brain, I would never let my brain go to something like that, because I thought LA was for the most beautiful, amazing people. And I would never belong. But I thought, well, if you're bartending right now, I'd graduated from college with a history degree. And I was like, you can't live and die in Louisiana. That doesn't make sense. And in my head, I was like, that doesn't make sense for the story. So you, that just doesn't make sense. I knew that that didn't make sense for the story, whatever story in my head. I knew there was a story. And so it was between LA or Vegas, because I thought Vegas, I can make a lot of money bartending.
Right.
And I had a boss at the time, and he said, you know, where would you move if you weren't afraid? And it all worked out. And I said, well, I live in Los Angeles. And he said, well, you should go there. And so I did.
And did you get a bartending job when you first got there?
Yes, off Craigslist. It was the last job I ever had to clock into, but I bartended at the Avalon, which is this like kind of rock and roll venue in Los Angeles. And Bruno Mars had worked there, Skrillex, Ryan Gosling, Dan Aykroyd's one of the owners. So it was kind of like, there's a lot of people who have popped into the Avalon. And so.
Right, right. Okay, so tell me how social media came into your life. And is that the first thing that kind of came into your life as this content creator?
Yes. So social media, you know, Instagram was happening when I was around 21, I think, or no, maybe around the 23 mark. It gets a little fuzzy. Okay. But I just posted on Instagram nonstop because I wanted attention and I wanted a boyfriend. And I thought, this is where I'm going to find a boyfriend, which has been so wrong. This whole time has been wrong. But no, so I started posting on there just to participate socially. And then I amassed a bunch of followers. And at one point I lived, no, when I moved to LA, so I was bartending in October. And by March, I had a million followers. So I moved here with maybe 250,000. And by March, I had a million. But back then, there was no money attached to Instagram. There was no fame. Hawktois could have never happened. Like none of this, no one knew how to merchandise. The agents weren't touching you at all because they thought this was super taboo and weird. So it wasn't what everyone thought. I just had a lot of followers and I was like a bartender.
So now you're somebody who has over 10 million followers in all your platforms, over 8 million on just Instagram alone. I want to stop there for a second and just get a lesson from you on how to build followers in an organic way. You see so many people buying followers or doing all these crazy things to get followers.
Yeah.
Give us your hacks, your tips and tricks.
Okay, well, my tips and well, everything changed because back when I got a million followers, when you had like 5,000, you were in the top 1% and the algorithm fed itself. So once you had a bunch, you were always getting the most likes. So you'd always get promoted and people were more prone to follow people in general. I think that's totally died. And I think what's going to happen, and this is maybe like my radical idea, no one's ever taught me this, but my impression of how things will go are, I think that somehow like mainstream celebrity is going to be how people get famous again. I think it's going to be a different world. I don't know if people should focus on getting the follower anymore, but maybe they should just focus on the talent or like the craft. And I honestly think it might be old school in the next 5 years. I think that in the next 5 years, people are going to get famous from getting on that huge TV show or maybe having that. I don't know. I don't think the viral like brain rot stuff can last forever. So I think it's going to swing back, but that's just my weird hunch. So okay. I have no idea. So I don't know. I think maybe don't focus on the follower. Focus on, you know, whatever your craft is or your community. Definitely community over follower. You'd rather 5,000 people who are obsessed with you than 500 million who don't really care.
Well, I think that's really good advice, actually, because I think so many people are all over the place. And they don't really have one thing that they're good at. And people are getting famous just for putting on makeup in the morning.
Yeah.
But they've never been to beauty school. You know what I mean? So, or they're putting on other people's clothes and they just happen to have a really good body at the moment, right? Or they're really into fitness and they're filming themselves at the gym. But I think you are right. When I was younger, you know, you had to submit a reel. You had to be good at something. If you didn't have a talent, you better just be a wife because who knows how you would have survived. Seriously, it was like very scary to figure out your place in the world if you couldn't make a place. And I think, it's a little bit easier now in the way that anyone could get on social media, do something either outrageous or follow the trends and just be consistent in their posting. And they tend to get a lot of recognition. Now, when I say recognition, I don't mean that their name is a household name, but they can get 5 million followers, 8 million, even 1 million out of nowhere. And it is pretty incredible. Yeah. I do want to get into the topic of monetization, though, because I think a lot of people have been shocked at how much money these content creators can make. I know I've seen an article recently that the money that was in it originally, millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands per, you know, just getting for a couple posts here and there, it's not happening anymore. So can you like educate us on the monetization?
Oh my God, of course. Well, it is very interesting. Back in the day, before, like, ads now on Instagram are kind of direct to consumer. So now, you know, if I have a brand, I'm selling this hair clip, I can pay Instagram directly and say, put my hair clip in 5,000 posts or whatever I want to do. Back in the day, that wasn't an option. So you had to pay Lindsay to post about the hair clip. So you kind of created this, you know, ad marketing culture. But now, the algorithm's kind of shot. It's not what it used to be. So people can't even reach their own audiences that they've built over the years. I can't reach my entire audience ever. And so you also
What do you mean by that? Explain that.
Well, now, you know, your content isn't being shown chronologically. It's being shown based off of an algorithm that isn't fully public or publicized. So you're kind of playing to this robot situation that's going to determine who, how often your content gets shown to literally the people who chose to follow you. So it's,
you mean it's not coming up in their feed as you post it? Is that what
you
mean? Yeah.
Sometimes it won't come up in your feed, or it'll come up days later, or, you know, and it bases it off of a performance, but it's also basing it off of other things, like whatever the algorithm thinks, you know, whatever Instagram prefers.
Right.
And that's not really up to us, which I think is kind of crazy.
So there's two main ways, though, on social media to make money. Either to have a company contact you and you're getting paid directly, yeah, right? And then the second way is just to get enough people to watch your reels, right? And then the social media is paying you. Explain that.
I would imagine. Now, so I have 1.9 million followers on Twitter. I have 217-ish on TikTok. I wouldn't have made enough money on both of those combined to pay for anything, like anything. Okay. But and Instagram, I have no idea how much those people who make those I shouldn't say brain rot, but those kind of trend-based reels, yeah, you know, mm-hmm, I don't know how much money they're making. And honestly, I think the marketing-based revenue landscape has changed. So I think if you want to make money on Instagram now, you might want to consider having your own product. You might want to consider selling your own art. You might want to consider funneling your audience to another location that monetizes you appropriately, or maybe a little bit more. But I think that the idea that someone's going to pay you to promote their stuff, it's dying fast. And so you got to get a little bit more creative at this point.
Aging is a fact of life, but let's be honest, who says we can't age better? It's time to take control of your well-being with Renew Youth. I've been so impressed by their personalized approach to health and longevity. They're not just about fixing one issue. They're about truly improving the way you feel every day. Renew Youth has been a trusted leader in hormone therapy and longevity medicine for over 25 years. What makes them stand out is their commitment to you. There's no one-size-fits-all here. They offer personalized treatments designed specifically for your needs, whether you're looking into testosterone replacement and estrogen control for men, or hormone balancing for women with estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone therapies. But it doesn't stop there. Renew Youth goes beyond hormone therapy. They also provide solutions for healthy aging, improving sexual function, weight loss, nutrition, and more. And the best part, all their treatments are physician supervised, so you know they're safe and effective. To top it off, Renew Youth is dedicated to building long-term relationships. Fun fact, their very first client from 1999 is still with them today. That's how much people trust them. Ready to find your own personalized solution to aging better? Here's an exclusive offer just for my listeners. Right now, you can save 50% on your initial lab testing, but you'll need to act fast because this is only available at my special URL, renewyouth.com/misunderstood. Take the first step to a better you and sign up for a free consultation today. That's renewyouth.com/misunderstood and start feeling your best. Support Renew Youth means supporting this podcast. I'm so excited for you to see what they can do for you. Let's age better together. Holistic Goddess has been such a trusted resource for me on my health journey. One product I really wanted to highlight is their Holistic Menopause Support by PhD Health. It's been a game changer for me during perimenopause, and here's why I love it. It eases discomfort. It really helps with hot flashes and mood swings. The ingredients in it, including creatine, support mental sharpness. I feel more focused and clear-headed, which is so important for my busy days. Go to holisticgoddess.com and use code UNDERSTOOD for 15% off all orders. So that's interesting. So I've seen a lot of people pop up recently that are basically getting hauls from Amazon, mm-hmm, or wherever, a low, you know, it's not a high end store. They'll try it on, and then they say write shop in the comments, and then they get paid based on how many people are buying those products. Now it's interesting because they're not selling their product. Mm-hmm. They're selling someone else's product and just hoping people will like how they wear it. Now, is that kind of the thing you're talking about?
I mean, that's one way. That's one way people do it. But I mean, back in the day, I don't know about everyone, but it really was like a flat rate. You post this, I pay you this. That's really what it was back in the day. Right. I think a lot of people prefer that kind of payment structure, but you never know. But that is one option.
Right. Okay. So how have you pivoted in the recent years?
You know, I post COVID and post all of this, it's been a great time to kind of reflect. You know, I'm in my early 30s now. I'm not 23 like when I moved here. And I think it's kind of, I like to call it, I'm climbing my second mountain. Mm. A lot of people in business or in life will have these mountains that they climb at new points. And my mountain is going to be a little bit different than just being a model. And it's kind of hard. It's kind of this is going to be one of the hardest mountains I have to climb. But I want to work in storytelling. I definitely want to continue working in film. I've discovered that I love to write and I'm a great writer. So I'll be, you know, I'll be in publishing in some ways. And I even want to learn tangible skills. Like I want to learn how to build a fucking house, because if I'm going to have a bunch of wealth, I want to know how to make that wealth keep working for me in other ways. So I have a lot of, my little brain is kind of spread out and it's very uncomfortable. And I sound delusional when I tell people what I want to do right now, but that's where I'm at. I'm looking at more traditional goals for myself and utilizing what I've already built to kind of get there.
Right. No, I think that sounds smart. Talk to me a little bit more. I love when you said storytelling. Mm-hmm. Do you want to be writing your own story? Do you want to write for other people's story? What do you mean by that?
It's a little bit of a mix. So I'm kind of trying to follow this inner gut feeling dream thing that I have. And I've been doing a lot of soul searching. It sounds very cheesy, but I've been praying and meditating and kind of doing all the things when you need a sign from the universe. Mm-hmm. And I realized that storytelling is where I need to land. I do want to tell my story, and I'm not sure exactly the facet. So what I've decided is I brought my podcast back, Eyes Up Here. So I'm kind of dabbling in the podcast. Mm-hmm. I finished my first book proposal and I've started working on that. Mm-hmm. I don't know when I'm going to press go on that, but it's finished and it's a wonderful proposal. And then I'm actually coming back to, I have a TV show that we're pitching. And then the fourth is I'm bringing back YouTube, like vlogs. I never really chose to do that ever, but I've hired a full-time film team and we've been working on it the last month. So I really put the pedal to the metal this past March. I decided to get back on this entertainment train where I'm going to storytell through these different avenues. It's kind of complicated. It's kind of all over the place, but I think that I'm doing the right thing.
Right. Well, because you have so many followers, I think it makes sense to kind of do a number of different things because you can hit different people in different ways.
Yeah. And it's so much fun.
Yeah. So tell me about your podcast. It's called Eyes Up Here. Yeah.
Yes. Eyes Up Here.
So how often does that drop? What do you talk about?
Oh my gosh. Well, I started in 2018. And I was just obsessed with the idea that people were misunderstood. It's a lot like your podcast. I was obsessed with the idea that you could see someone and think all these stereotypes because we've all got this box that people fit us in. Mm-hmm. And we're never like that box. We're always way more complicated and nuanced if we're remotely interesting. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of uncovering people and kind of seeing them outside of the box. So that's kind of where I started. And over time, it just kind of developed. And right now, it's a little bit personal. It's kind of what I'm going through, how I'm feeling. Sometimes I lean a little bit insightful. You know, the last episode was about intuition. So I'm kind of all over the place. I'm still getting my footing back with it, honestly, because it's been, there was like pre-COVID life and then there's kind of now, and it's taken me quite a while to get back into this train, but now I'm on the train.
So how often does it drop?
It should be every week, but I reserve the right to screw up and not post every week.
Sure.
But
this one
of the week, and yeah.
And so sometimes it's guest driven and sometimes you're just speaking from your heart.
Yes.
Okay. Amazing. I love that. I want to hear about your OnlyFans.
Okay.
So I've had a couple girls on my show that are on OnlyFans that, you know, do it for financial freedom. They love it. Literally everyone I've spoken to about it loves it. So I'm curious about, because you have such a big brand, do you think that OnlyFans is something that has created part of that brand? Or do you think because you've had all these eyeballs over here, you were able to translate them into your OnlyFans community?
Oh yeah. Mine was the opposite. I had the community already and that translated to OnlyFans.
Okay.
It was kind of a no-brainer too, because, you know, all those years I had done bikini modeling and posted in the swimwear and we got a lot of pushback. Sometimes it was like, you know, you can't model for this brand because you're too risque on the internet. Everything's risque when you look a certain way, which is a whole other conversation. And so I was like, you know, and you know, a lot of the platforms were like, if you wear a certain this, you won't be monetized in this way or on this place. And so OnlyFans was actually kind of one of the first places where it was like, there, you can just be yourself and we're gonna, you know, we're gonna support you as a creator and we see the value in your entertainment and your audience. So I appreciated that a lot.
Mm-hmm. And so do you feel like for right now, is that your main source of income?
For sure, I think, yeah. Yeah, I'd say, I mean, unless there's a good day, you know, I have a lot of buckets turning. Okay. But yeah, I used to rely fully on influencer marketing money, and now I have this, which means I get to turn down, you know, worse jobs for that kind of influencer marketing. I don't have to focus on that as much, which is really nice.
Okay, and so for anyone interested in getting into OnlyFans, and tell me if I'm wrong, I've learned that you really do need to start with a community. I mean, it's very hard to start without those eyeballs, correct?
I think so, from what I've heard.
Right.
From what I've heard. But there also are, now there are like experts in this field who can kind of see someone and turn it into something impressive. I don't know how they're doing it, but I have heard that there are ways.
Okay. And then for you, explain just a little bit of the basics. Is this something like Instagram? I've never actually been on OnlyFans. So is it something where you are posting every day or your team is posting every day or you have to be consistent? Like what are the tips for that?
Oh my God. It is, it is a ton of work. It's nonstop. You can post as much or as little as you want, but it's imagine having a job that you kind of have to be interesting nonstop and you have to be creative nonstop. That's kind of what this thing is. And so it's very stressful. It's very, you have to work nonstop. You're working all the time if you're doing it. So I'm posting all the time, but what is wonderful about it is you can schedule things ahead of time. Right. So that feature is kind of amazing. You can post on a public wall and you have DMs and you can also live stream, which I really love to do. So people can literally just see you live stream as long as you want. You can charge a fee for that. It's like putting on your own show in your house whenever you want.
What are you doing during your live stream? Are you like, or are you cleaning?
Well, I dance around. I'm very sexy. It's almost as if like, cause I'm in the glamour model space. So very like lingerie swimwear stuff.
Okay.
So anything you would imagine from like a sexy photo shoot, that's kind of what I'm doing live. I'm changing outfits. Sometimes I don't want to give all my tricks away cause people will steal them from me. I try on a lot of outfits throughout and I'm talking shit. I'm telling jokes. I'm giggling and I'll dance around, but I'm not a very good stripper. I'm not a great stripper.
Okay. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Not that there's anything wrong with it, but I've totally attempted to twerk on there many times. Like I have fun. It's not, I don't know how to explain it. It's not, I don't know. To me, it's a sexy photo shoot come to life. It's very much hanging out with a girl next door while she dresses like a hot cheerleader. It's just fun.
Love it. Love it. And then do you feel like you need to, I've heard two ways that you need to kind of hire a crew and help you do all this. Or are you the girl that like sets up your own lighting, puts on your phone or your computer and you like can do it all by yourself?
I'm definitely a self-starter, self-motivator, self-starter. Okay. Especially even when I first started, I wouldn't work with anyone. So I like to be alone because a lot of it's sexy. So if you want to be creative, I don't like to be sexy around people. So I think it's kind of weird. So I'm more of the alone. I mean, I'm staring at the setup that I've got now. And maybe that's my like stubbornness and maybe I should have a little bit more help with that, but I'm kind of a stubborn queen.
I hear you. Yeah. So I'm curious, do you have a boyfriend now?
No, I don't think. Yeah. I'm like, no, I think I broke up with someone this morning. It was great.
Oh, amazing. What do you think?
Well, I've stopped responding today and I think today's I let it go. So
No boyfriend. Do you believe in ghosting people? Like how would someone like you break up with someone?
Oh my God, no, I would never. Well, the good thing, if I go out with you on a date or two, I'm usually pretty in because I've already done a lot of vetting.
Okay.
I'm a one man woman. I'm very loyal. I'm very invested. I feel like right now, love, especially modern dating, it reminds me of base jumping. Like people are putting on all their gear and they're like going up to the mountain and they're like saying, I want to be a base jumper. I want to fall in love. I want to do all this stuff. And then like, they don't jump off. And I jump off and I'm like, are we going to do this? Like, I'm going to fall in love with you. I'm going to be head over heels. And like, they're not. And I'm like, you're boring me. I'm so tired of it. I think it's so boring. I think the roster culture is bullshit. I'm like so over it. I don't like it at all.
The roster culture.
Well, everyone now is like teaching you on the internet to have like 17, you know, have like a bunch of people on rotation.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know what that was. Yeah.
And I'm like, who the fuck are you? Like, no, give some to me. I think you should kind of be all in, be patient, give someone the time of day. How, to me, love is like a campfire. You're not going to spark one up and then go spark another one up and think the first one's going to inferno. No, you're sparking up too much shit. Like, go blow on the first one.
Right.
Give it some wood. I'm very metaphorical.
So how are you meeting people in LA? Are you going out or are you like online dating?
Oh my gosh. I go out. So if I do, and I don't even go out that often, but there's always someone lurking around a corner somewhere, but I don't go on a dating app. The dating app freaks me out. I almost went on Raya, and when it came to uploading the photos, I got freaked out and I was like, I don't think this is for me. I couldn't do it.
Why do you think that is?
I think honestly, there's no way for me to know just how handsome someone would be in person or how charming they would be or how smart they would be. None of that is going to translate digitally to me, I don't think. And the idea of swiping on humans, that hurts me somewhere. And maybe I know that it's a radical way to think and I'm like the outlier who's an idiot and outdated, but I don't like it.
No, I understand that. I mean, listen, there is something to be said for the fact that you can, like you said, do some research. You can also spend time seeing how someone is before you meet them. And for me, I can't, because I'm single, I can get a sense of whether or not I'm going to like them. Forget about their picture because they hardly look like their picture. The mannerisms change what they look like, right? So the chemistry, you don't know. You cannot tell chemistry on a photo. But I could tell if they're attentive. I could tell if they give good phone, you know, like if they're if they can combat a little bit, if they can, you know, banter. I like that.
Yeah.
And I like seeing if there's like some sort of chemistry before you meet them, because if there is, then there's a higher chance that no matter what they look like, that chemistry will translate anyways. So I don't mind the online dating stuff. I mean, I'm still single, so clearly it's not working. And I haven't found the right person, but in my history of dating online, I've had a 3-year boyfriend, another one that was like 2 years. So they just weren't the right one. Yeah. But it worked.
Oh, I'm too stubborn. No, but you're right. There are so many success stories. Like, it actually does work. Yeah. You know what I would pay for? I would pay for one, a service where men were maybe psychologically evaluated. Maybe they just were like, we were sure that they weren't a narcissist, or like, we were sure that they weren't violent, or like, it's funny, the safety aspect isn't really for sale yet. And I'm like, that's what I would buy. Why are we
that's
rolling
very
around?
Interesting. See, maybe your head is working and you can start some sort of dating app like that.
Maybe.
There is a dating app that my friend showed me the other day, and now I'm going to blank on what it's called, but something to the effect of, are we dating the same guy.com?
I've heard of this. Oh,
and the only reason it came up in our conversation is because my friend is dating the same person that they were talking about online, and she was flipping out. And she had only gone on 2 dates with him, but they all sound, you know, everyone's comments sounded the same. He had invited her, you know, on the boat and this and that, and she was really upset because she thought she was the one. But it just shows how hard dating is.
Oh, they're blowing on all these little campfires. I'm like, no, pick one. They're missing out. I feel bad for these guys. Look, bless them. I know they're scared. Falling in love is scary. People are gonna like, it's vulnerable, but like, you're missing out on so much fun. You know how fun it is to be in love? It's such like a luxury. I think these people are losing their minds. Like, I feel like, you know, I don't know. I just think they're hurting themselves.
So what are you looking, what are your top 3 things you're looking for in a guy?
You know, I really like, I think one of the sexiest things in a man is a man who's poised or dignified a little bit, because I feel like men are really, they can be very strong and powerful, and you know, they're kind of the top of the food chain, at least when it comes to a safety perspective, or like, you know, at least when it comes to what's the most dangerous being on the planet, it's still a man. Mm-hmm. And that would, to me, warrant some kind of poise, or like, I'm, you know, like, why would you be argumentative with a woman, or like, why would you be combative, or why would you ever call someone a bitch? Like, that would, I would never date someone who called women bitches, probably.
Got
you
it.
Know, those kind of things. A little poise is such a turn on.
Okay. Yeah. What are your other 2 ones?
I don't know. I feel like I just stopped at poise. I don't know. I have a list up there, but I'm thinking about throwing it out the window, because now I'm like, I had this whole list and I'm like, he's got it. I'd love it if he were creative. I'd love if he made me feel safe. But no, I don't know. I don't know anymore.
There's a lot of talk these days. I've read a couple articles on trad wives. Do you know what that is? Traditional.
Yes.
Is that something that you believe in?
Um, to each their own. If you like farm all day, I'm from a dairy farm town. I totally get the appeal, actually.
Yeah.
To be in love, like I would, you could convince me to go live on a houseboat and never talk to anyone again. And I would do it if I was in love. So like I get like falling off the earth and being in love. It's totally fine. But what I don't think is good, I don't think being financially abused is never good. So we don't want to be, you know, sacrificing our safety for these kind of lifestyles. And you have to remember, like, you know, a lot of people who have had the most brutal heartbreaks in their lives never expected it. So right. I think it's important to remember as women to keep an element of safety, especially financial safety. So whether that's like a good prenup, whether that's some kind of maintaining a job, like, I really think that's super duper important. So go live on the farm and do whatever you want, but like be prepared just in case. That would make right. it all good.
I agree that financial independence is a level of safety that women should have, not only just in case they need it, but for their own self-esteem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit more about your financial safety. You have become an actress. Can you talk to me about how you got into acting?
Oh yes. Okay. So when I moved to LA, people were, I actually got a call at Warner Brothers. I went and they gave me the script for The Huntsman or something. It was like a big movie with Kristen Stewart. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not going to go read for this. This was so not for me. But I took acting classes after that. And I started acting here and there. And when people would give me a job, because honestly, people would give me jobs, mm-hmm. I took them. So I'd be on sets and I did a movie and I got my SAG card and I worked on commercials. And I think what's been really fun is I'm all about like paying your dues and doing the hard stuff. So I've taken jobs that have not paid me very well, have taken up a lot of my time. And, you know, I've learned on the job a lot. So I've actually done a lot of movies and I've got a lot of film work and post-production. And they've just been very quiet because they're not my big break. It takes a lot for you to see the biggest acting projects in the world. And so I'm kind of waiting on that opportunity, but I've been paying my dues quietly behind the scenes.
Okay. Tell us about some of the films that you've been in that you want to talk about.
Well, right now I've got one streaming on Hulu called Alone at Night. I play a blonde who's in a reality show. It's very funny. My role is very funny, but the movie is amazing. Pamela Anderson, G-Eazy, Winnie Harlow are in the film, Ashley Benson, Paris Hilton. So it's fun to work with that cast. I think that was pretty amazing.
Okay, that's called Alone at Night. And what is it?
Alone at Night.
On Hulu?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Okay.
I've got another series called Paper Empire that's in post-production and it's very much like an action Miami kind of thing. I've got a gun. I hold it like this. So that's kind of an edgier crime kind of series, but Denise Richards is attached to that project. And I even got to act with Richard Grieco. Do you remember Richard Grieco?
Yes, of course.
I put a gun in my head and one of the scenes. I loved it. I was like, this is great.
So fun.
Yeah.
Now, wait, were you intimidated at all? Because some of these names, you know, have been acting for a very long time, or did it come easy to you?
You know what is interesting? Almost every acting project I've had has been with a celebrity. Like almost every scene I've done has been with someone who was huge. So it's definitely, it's always intimidating when people watch you. But what I'm learning on the job is I'm learning that you have to pretend that these people don't exist and just remember the camera. Like the only thing that is gonna, who's actually watching is a camera. So I'm trying to remember like, how do I look to these people? Like that's actually my little focus. But you learn new things every job. You learn how to prepare for your fellow actor messing up and you learn how to mark your spots. And I've learned a lot from actors. You know, Romeo Miller taught me that when someone grabs your hand in a scene, you need to look down and be overly aware of the hand. It's unnatural to do stuff like that, but you need to make your eyes show what to look at. And he, you know, I learned from these people. I think it's really fun.
Wow, that is very cool. And did I read right that Kelsey Grammer was in one of your films?
Yeah, I think he might be attached to Paper Empire, but I'm not totally sure.
Okay, so you didn't film with him?
No, I didn't film with him.
Okay, wait, I want to ask you a question. You said you got to hold a gun.
Yes.
So I guess I have to ask you, because of this whole thing with Alec Baldwin and having a gun on set, what was that like? Did they train you how to hold the gun?
It's crazy you asked me that, because I think about this. I've been thinking about this nonstop with the whole story.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin is attached to a project, another project I have in post-production. But with the gun. So the first day we had a gun on set and the gun was being pointed near my face. We had the armorer and the armorer came out and they said, this is a live gun or there's no bullets in the thing. They did this whole, you know, whole moment. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so freaked out. And then...
Was this before or after all the stuff with Alec Baldwin? Okay.
This is before, maybe like 6 months before. Mm-hmm. And I remembered asking, I was talking with Richard Grieco, and I said, you know, why don't they have fake ones? Because I'm like, maybe there's something I'm missing. And he goes, well, you know, the real gun has a weight to it. You know, people who are really well-versed in guns would know the difference between a real one and a fake one. It's just harder. Basically, just it's an element of realism. And I remembered in my head going, if only there was a job where you made fake things real. Like, mm-hmm. if only there was something. But I was like, it's literally what we do. But I was so tired. I was like, maybe I'm missing something. There's got to be something else to why we use real ones. But it's an argument that people argue all the time. I on the internet, it's really an argument of realism versus safety. And a lot of times film sets are super safe and people do everything right. But it's kind of what kind of risk are you willing to take for what kind of outcome? But I mean, we have unsafe elements of film all the time, even in cars and stunts and sure. this and that. And it's just in it. And I don't even know, but I was just like, oh, this is very scary.
Well, having been in that situation, did you have an opinion watching what happened and what unfolded? Did you think it was plausible that somebody could have messed up and not noticed that there were live rounds and a gun? Or like, what do you think actually happened there?
Oh my God. I think that there truly are people who can be negligent in every job. Every job, the biggest jobs in the world, the most esteemed positions, the human can make mistakes. The human can also be malice. I have no idea what this person was, if it was negligence or malice, but the brain is not a fixed thing. Like, the brain can make mistakes really easily. It's not a machine. And so anytime you do any job, you have to just, like, you have to assume that people will make huge mistakes at every job and everything in life. So I'm a fraidy cat. I'm a check, rechecker kind of person. So it's devastating.
Yeah, that was devastating. Okay, you also have a vegan Mexican restaurant. Are you vegan?
No, I'm not. I wish I was.
What?
I feel like good things happen to vegans because they're so wonderful and full.
Oh my God, you are funny. Well,
I know.
I think good things happen to meat eaters too, even though I love animals more than yeah. I like people. Yeah. I don't like to think that they are one and the same, but yeah. Okay. So tell me about your restaurant.
I just don't want it to be like a test to get into heaven. And I failed every day. I ate a chicken nugget. I think about it all the time. I'm scared, but,
are chicken nuggets really chicken though?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm
down for the artificial stuff. I'm like, I want to go to Harvard. But no, the restaurant is delicious. It's so amazing what the chef has been able to do with like fake cheese and like, you know, all this other sources of protein that are not with animal products. It's so good for the environment. The founder, Jade Nicole, she's worked with PETA and every kind of animal rights group you could think of for a lifetime. And so it's nice to be attached to it. And it's really good.
And what's your role with it?
Oh my God, I'm just an investor. I'm free.
Okay. But do you go and eat there and enjoy it? Can you help with the menu yes. if you don't like something on it? Or
honestly, they have not asked any of that of me. I just gave some money and I said, here you go.
Oh,
good
nice.
Luck. I hope to see some back.
Right. And there's a couple different locations, right?
Yes. We have one in West Hollywood. We have one in Ventura Boulevard and we've got one in Long Beach, which is brand new.
Okay. And then I just want to get back to one thing you were talking about earlier, which I think, you know, is very eye-opening and your whole reason for like the eyes up here thing, that there are stigmas that go with being a beautiful woman, a young woman, a woman that has a good personality that also can be sexy. What have you learned and what do you think is most misunderstood about, you can either say about you or about women in general, and kind of making it through life?
Ooh, well, I think myself and most women and most humans in general are multifaceted. Mm-hmm. We're so easy to put someone in a box, especially because of how they look. And I think, I don't know if it was like a cruel thing, like my boobs are natural. I'm a small person and I got ridiculed forever. I mean, I still get mocked in public. I still get stares and laughed at and all this stuff. And I just, we are way more complex than we are kind of one dimensional, most of us. And I think the sooner that we realize that life is going to require nuance to be, we're only going to have a utopia or like a happy life if we can deal with nuance. And I think this is going to be really hard for people. And it's something we've got to wrap our minds around. People can be sexy, but they can also be smart and they can be a mother, but they can also be very fun and they can be disciplined, but also have a childlike wonder about the world. We can be all these things at once. And I don't know. I don't like boxes.
Got it. Do you believe in manifesting?
I do.
So tell me a couple of things that you are manifesting for your future that we should root for you for.
Oh my gosh. I have three lines I tell myself in the mirror, but I'm too embarrassed to say. But on the back of my phone, I have an acting job I want. I have an advertising job I want. I have the cover of my book I want, and I have a cover that's coming out that I already got. So I've got a lot of stuff, but I don't know if I should put it out yet.
Okay, well, that's up to you. But I want, you know, our listeners just to be able to root for you about something. Or is there one thing that you are looking forward to that you're doing that people can look for in the future with you?
I'm really looking forward to sharing my world a little bit. And I hired a full-time photographer or filmer. What is it called when you film video? Videographer.
Videographer, yeah.
Following me around, and I'm going to share my life a little bit more through video. So I want everyone to see that. I really
That's
want you
the
to-
the vlogging thing you were talking about?
Yeah. Okay. And I want people to see, I've got a project brewing in the desert, it could come up in 2 weeks, it could come up in 2 years, but that's going to be a big project in my world. And I think we're going to take people along with that. But every night I pray, you know, the last thing I say is I pray that I'm in line with my divine purpose. I just want to be on that path. So just hope that I'm on that path and everything else will work out.
Okay. I love that. Tell people where they can find you, subscribe to your OnlyFans, find you on Instagram and TikTok and all those things.
You can find me at Lindsay Palos pretty much everywhere.
Amazing. And your Instagram is your name?
Yes.
Perfect. Lindsay. And spell your last name for people.
It's P-E-L-A-S.
Perfect. And L-I-N-D-S-E-Y, right?
E-Y.
Perfect. Lindsay, it was a pleasure getting to know you a little bit. I can't wait to see what comes of your future. Good luck to you.
Thanks so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.